All right, let's do a proverb, shall we? 25, 20. And then when we get into Exodus. Jeez. 25:20. Read that. Nope. No James. Whoever. Just read that. Did everyone hear me say James? Wow. Maybe I did. Maybe I'm speaking in tongues. Can anybody interpret tongues? Because then I would be in sin if no one could. There you go. Perfect. That's what I meant. That's what I meant to say. Proverbs 25:20.
Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soap.
All right, so mine arrangement's a little bit different. Like one who takes off a garment on a cold day. What happens when you take off a garment on a cold day? You get cold and you shrivel, right? So you shake and you shrivel, okay? Like vinegar on soda, the idea is if you put something acidic on something basic, right, it shrivels, it renders each useless. So vinegar on soda, I don't do that every day, so most of you probably don't either. I have no idea what that means, right? But the idea is it's the same as part A, is it makes the substances shrivel, okay? They get smaller. Is he who sings songs to a troubled heart? What's that mean? What's the context there? What does it mean to sing songs to someone with a troubled heart? Yeah, absolutely. So you've got someone that has a troubled heart who's hurting, right? And you're saying the wrong thing, right? Whatever it is, it's the wrong thing. The idea is you are unsympathetic to where they are at in life, right? They're going through something that is painful or difficult or whatever it is, and you don't have the ability to empathize with them and say, man, I bet that's difficult. I bet what you need to hear or what you don't need to hear is this, and obviously the end result is what happens to that person as a result of that careless or unsensitive person? What are they doing to that person? Causing them to shrivel, right? It's not helpful. You're making the situation worse by saying words that are not appropriate for the circumstance, right? Yes, ma'am. Oh, boy, I don't know, Callie. This is very early. It's always good. I just don't know the answers. It could, yeah, I think.
Vinegar and baking soda, when you put it, that's like what you do to make a volcano. It like fizzes and gets all
shit. Yeah, that's right. Seventh grade earth science, I recall that, with lots of colors. I don't know. Callie, you go try it today and report back.
No, I've done it before. It definitely does that, so I'm wondering if that adds to it at all.
Explosive combination.
Natron?
Yeah. I don't even know what that is. Sodium carbonate is what they put in. That's bicarbonate. Never mind. All right. Sodium bicarbonate is stuff that's in soda, right?
Like a mineral salt found in dried lake
beds. Let's just bring it to mind. That would be Dead Sea, so that would be appropriate.
So would that make sense? So it would cause them either to like withdraw or explode?
Maybe that's the meaning of the part B. Somebody go dig in that and find out for me. So go do some research. I want to know. So regardless, the response is wrong, right? The person's not being attentive to the needs of the other. So why would we bring this up in here? There's a consistent pattern with folks that go into ministry that are social workers, nurses, paramedics get this way. They see so much pain in the world from people that it's very easy to become insensitive to those things, to turn it off and to get jaded, right? And just to be like, listen, I've seen so many wrecked marriages that you get fed up with it. You get tired of dealing with people in your office that won't quit doing stupid and quit wrecking their marriage. It's like, it's not that difficult. Like, quit being an idiot and don't do that, right? And on a bad day, when you see the pain and the people continuing to wreck their ships on the rocks of life, per se, you can just get jaded to that, right? When you see pain, like nurses, and you watch folks that have to deal with people that inflict pain on themselves, and they end up dealing with doctors and nurses and paramedics and the like, the end results of it, it gets painful. A good friend of mine that was instrumental in helping kind of form the well at the very, very beginning is a paramedic. And you could just hear some of the things when he had to go see the same patients over and over and over again. And it was the same thing, and they would not quit doing it. It just, you get jaded towards the world. So a caution to all of us that are going to be in those worlds. And you guys are in that now, right? As you're dealing with junior high girls, right? You think they have issues, and sometimes you're like, really? Like, are you like, this is your life, and this is what you're stressing about, or whatever it may be. And it's hard sometimes to put ourselves in that situation, but you're going to be there. And what that person needs more often than not is someone that has a sympathetic ear that can say, man, I am sorry. That must be incredibly painful. I do not have the answers to your problems. I don't know why you're going through what you're going through. How about Job's friends, the ones that did the best job? What did they do for Job in his moment of just pain? They were just there, right? They were just present. The guys that were idiots were the guys that tried to theologically solve all of Job's problems and were wrong and unsympathetic. He just needed someone that was with him, okay? And again, I think we've said it before, but 90% of that is just showing up. Be there with people that are hurting. You don't need to have the answers. You just need to know. We talked about that with the Rumleys. Just be there and be present, okay? So if you see your tracks going down those roads in terms of you're going to deal with people's lives and the wreckage and the carnage sometimes that comes out of them, I can only imagine as a lawyer some of the stuff that you probably see. It's probably, you know what I mean? Like, you just get in life on life with people, and after a while, you lose sensitivity to that, and that can't happen in ministry, okay? You've got to stay sympathetic to those things, and it can be difficult at times.
I mean, I can see it also where, like, you just don't have the right words to say. Like, you are sympathetic and you try to maybe spin it and make it a little more look on the bright side.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that I hear a lot of those stories, and I was really convicted by one the other day. We were we had a gal in our office that wrote a really good blog on infertility, right? And she talked about all the wonderful, godly, good-meaning people that just say stupid things when they're struggling with infertility. And they're sympathetic, or they're at least trying to be, but they just don't know what to say. So instead, they say stuff that they shouldn't. And I was thinking through, we're going to walk through a gal's story in 1 Samuel. That's her life is kind of enveloped in the fact that she can't have a kid, right? It's Hannah with Samuel, right? And I remember teaching that, thinking, man, was I sympathetic to the fact that there are people in the room that are currently wrestling with that issue, you know? So, and I've been one to, you know, I've said plenty of stupid things. So I think that's often a big cause as well. People don't know what to say, so they try to say stuff. I sat with a gal weeks ago that lost her husband in a bike accident, right? He was a guy that I rode with like once a week for years. And same thing, like they're trying to say, gosh, I'm really sorry that you've lost your husband. I know how hard that is. And they would just say dumb things. And if you get people together that have been through that, the stories that they can share about the stupid things that people have said are amazing. So more often than not, the best thing you can do is shut your mouth and just be there and love on people and hug them and love them. And can I bring you a chicken pot pie? Or, you know, can I go mow your yard? Like, what do you need right now that I want to meet real tangible needs? And again, like, some of you are far better at this than I am, right? That have that harmonizer side of you. I get like, I don't know what to do either. So this is not a strong gifting of mine. It's not something that comes natural to me. So I've had to learn the hard way. I'm sticking my foot in my mouth. That's a great observation. So, but just recognize that you're going to have tendencies to get there. And if you start feeling your jaded meter rise, take a break. Figure out what you need to do to re-energize, because you're going to be around pain like that often, okay? And you've got to tuck the stories away that are the home run, life change, like, this is what happened. Like, keep those around and keep those close to you, because that'll be fuel to your fire, because you're probably going to see a lot more people do stupid, or you're going to hear about those than you are some of the great life-changing stories. And they're there, but sometimes those aren't the ones that end up in our office just to say, you're doing a great job. I love you. Thanks for just being you. And you just, those don't always come to the forefront. So, okay. So, by the way, that's the root of like homesickness, right? Everyone around you has no idea what you're going through. You're longing for home and they're all happy to be where they're at. They're not sympathetic to what you need. Suicide rate skyrockets during Thanksgiving and Christmas. because everyone else around you is happy because they have family and everything's great, and you're miserable and nobody can feel what you're going through. They're looking forward to the holidays, and you're not because you have no one to spend it with or whatever it may be, right? So I was talking to a pastor on staff that last year and this year, because he doesn't have family in town, he's having those people over. That's his Thanksgiving. I don't have family, you don't have family, let's be a family and we'll have Thanksgiving together. I'm like, man, good for you, right? You care about the folks that just otherwise may have just been overlooked and no one would have cared to even ask, because I have family to go hang out with. So in fact, y'all can have my family sometimes. So I want to be by myself. So anyway, so. Oh. No, we're Central Texans are just as bad. So that's me and my family. So, oh yeah. So no, they're great. We have our moments as introverts that we just want alone time. So, thoughts on that? Any of you guys wrestle with that? Seen that? Foresee that? Does he affectionately say something about something? Is that what?
He says it's both and. So he says being insensitive and unsympathetic does much harm. It's useless and causes a violent reaction. So it's both like the garment, the cold weather thing. So it causes people to withdraw, but also it can cause them to explode.
Interesting. I like it. So that's the vinegar on soda thing.
Yeah.
See, Callie was right once again. So there you go. Perfect. Good to know. Okay. I will make a note. All right. Cool.